sermon text this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of woman there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me this morning? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate our joy. Joy to the world, good Christian men and women, rejoice. We are to be people of great joy. Are we people of great joy? Are we people of great joy? Christians need to be people of great joy. Too many times as Christians, we walk around with our heads down, our chins on our chest. We walk around looking like people who have been baptized in vinegar. That's an awful looking thing, isn't it, if you think about it? People who have been baptized in vinegar, and that terrible look on their face, and the world looks at us and says, "Why would I want to be one of those? Look how sad they are." We are to be people of great joy. We must remember our joy no matter our circumstances. We must remember what God has waiting for us no matter what life deals us. We have to be the light of the world, and we must express that joy so that the world can see it clearly. Now, there are things that get in the way of our joy. One of the reasons why we are not joyful is because of fear. We see this even in the announcement of Christ's birth. It announcement says that the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." The announcement of the birth of Jesus to the Bethlehem shepherds is a small picture of how life often works. The shepherds were involved in life as usual, tending their sheep in the fields. Suddenly, something unexpected happened, and their first response was fear. Why were they afraid? Well, you can only imagine experiencing something like that. You can only imagine in your life that you might be doing something, and all of a sudden, God shows up. All of a sudden, God is right there before you. It would have to make you just a little fearful. The first thing the angel of the Lord said to them was, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. They must have been cowering and covering their faces at the sight of the glorious angel from heaven. But then, their fear was replaced by joy based on God's words. Instead of fear, the angel offered the shepherds good tidings of great joy about the birth of a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Their fear turned to joy because this is what they have been waiting for. Realize that for hundreds of years, since the last of the Old Testament had been written, for hundreds of years, this people waited for one thing. While being taken over by nations, while being overran with other people, while being sent away in captivity to come back, all these hundreds of years, they waited for one thing. They waited for Messiah. And when he came, what joy they had, what joy they experienced. Isn't that the way life happens to us? Things are normal until something unexpected happens. And our response, many times initially, is fear. But the joy that replaced the shepherd's fear can do the same for us. Christmas is the time to remember that fear is banished by joyful faith in the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What is our response to the fears of life? Fear and uncertainty is all around us. The world is full of things and circumstances that bring fear. How should we, as followers of Jesus, respond? Well, friends, we need to stay focused. We need to focus on the joy of life. That's not easy, but it's possible. Believe me, I don't understand. I did another funeral this week. And in such times as those, it's hard sometimes to see past the joy. But you see, then I read the gospel at the funeral. And I remember the joy. And I know that the family probably doesn't feel it in those moments. I know the circumstances of your life probably dictates some sadness. I know that everyone here goes through things at times that really pulls at your heart and really makes it difficult for you to see the joy. But we are called as God's people to reach down inside of ourselves and find that joy that God has put there. God has placed in you eternity. He has placed joy in your heart. You have the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. You have the joy of knowing that no matter what takes place in this world, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what pain you might be experiencing, that there is hope and there is joy, and that someday this too shall pass. And all you'll be left with is the joy of the Lord. You have that joy in your life. And you can pull from that. It will take effort. It will not be easy. But it is possible. It is possible to have joy. As Christians, sometimes we need to focus on who we are. Who are you? Who are you? Who do you say you are? Do you know who you really are? We can't draw comfort and joy from our identity unless we know who we really are. I have a little short reading here that explains that. It says, one evening, a group of young Christian friends was being chauffeured through Cairo's bustling streets when their driver, also a Christian, collided with the car in front of him. The driver of the other car leapt from his vehicle and began yelling, "Don't you understand? This car belongs to the Prince of Saudi Arabia." And the friend, the chauffeur, said, "Do you not know who's in my car?" they are children of the King. Children of the King. Well, there's a great truth to be found in the words of this show. As believers in Christ, God has given us the right to bear His name. This is who we are. And this new identity is one of the greatest gifts God gives to all those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ. In 1 John, in John chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, in this passage, we read this. It says, those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, but born of God. The truth is, every person is a creation of God, but not every person is a child of God. Only those who receive Jesus, putting their faith in Him as their only Savior and Lord, can be called children of God. Children of God. Are you a child of God? Well, if you are, there is joy that you can claim and experience every day. When you know that you are a child of the King, all of your troubles, all of your fears dissipate. When you are a child of the King, you realize that. And you claim that. No matter what this world deals you, you can have joy. You can have joy no matter what. Now, we are only human, and no matter how hard we try, fear and doubt seep into our lives. It has happened to the best of God's children. It has happened to the best of God's children. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? John the Baptist, the one who baptized Jesus in prison, about to be beheaded, needs to have his fears and doubts relieved. Are you the one? Are you the one? Now, I know that none of us would ever have those kind of doubts, would we? None of us would ever have those kind of doubts. Haven't we all, in the middle of the storms of life, when things are uncertain, out of our control, haven't we doubted just a little? Haven't we doubted just a little? John needed to know. He needed some proof. He needed something of substance. Even John, this wonderful follower, even John, who gave his life to God, who went to the desert and lived, who ate locusts and honey, even John, who surrendered his life to God from the very start and baptized the Savior and saw the glory of God when he was baptized, even John, when he's going through such a terrible time, needed a little hope. He needed reassurance. So I'll tell you, don't be sad that you have had doubts. You are human. Doubts are natural, but so is the joy of the Lord, a very natural thing. Now, I was going to originally read to you 4 through 6, but one of the many blessings that I experienced being involved with the Frank and Grimm Festival was getting to meet and spend a little time with Dennis Agagin. I have a hard time saying his name. Who is Dennis Agagin? Well, he's a wonderful singer and songwriter. He's one of those good old boys. He He used to hang out with Johnny Cash and some of the gang, a little country doing, but it's all Christian. And he was just the most wonderful. And he has a song, and I don't know if it's his, but he sings about this particular scripture. No, I'm not going to sing for you. One of the songs that he sings, I have it on my CD, is he sings Tell John. And I want you to hear the lyrics of this because it speaks to you much, much more than what the reading does. It says, those who were sent by John, asking him, are you the one? The Baptist is in prison. He can't see. And with a voice so loud and clear, Jesus spoke to those who could hear. Go tell John all you've seen and heard. Tell John the blind receive their sight. Crippled men may walk upright. And people have been cured of leprosy. Tell John the deaf can hear and the dead are raised. Good news has reached the poor. Go tell John. Don't be alone. Well, you have to use your imagination because this is in scripture. Listen. In the dark and lonely cell, he was near death, he could tell. When a voice he heard outside in the sun, he looked up. He could see the man of Galilee, and with a smile he said, praise God, my work is done. Tell John the blind receive their sight, crippled men may walk upright, and people have been cured of leprosy. Tell John the deaf can hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news has reached the poor. Go tell John. Walk the way around. Friend, what is our good news today? What is our good news today? The good news is the joy of the Lord. The good news is this message came to John. The good news is the proof of the gospel of what Jesus Christ did and is doing. The good news that John needed to hear was a reflection of the Old Testament that said when Jesus comes, all of this will take place. When Jesus said to him, the blind see, the deaf hear, leprosy is cured, the lame walk, John knew instantly. John knew instantly that Jesus was the Messiah. John had a reason to be joyful. Why did this bring joy to John? Because scripture had been fulfilled in Jesus. This is what all of the prophets said would happen when the Messiah came. John, whom Jesus said, there was no one greater born a woman, had doubts and fears like ours. But he had a reason for joy, and so do we. Scripture has been fulfilled. Jesus is Messiah, the Savior of the world. We have reason for great joy. Friends, no matter what the circumstances of your life, I want you to leave here knowing that you can smile. Because all you're going to do is look deep inside to that Jesus is there, to that hope of eternity, to the joy that he will surely place in your life. And through every circumstance of life, you can smile and have joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the